This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning, buddy, and happy Monday. Well, it's here. Holiday week has arrived. I'm kind of excited about it, Jeffrey. I walk in, and sure enough, like Ron Olson has been teasing the Christmas music for like Monday, starting Monday, the best day of the year. And now they got like their whole front door over there at the river is decorated in wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got, I like Christmas music. They got the Christmas music going. I was talking to Paul from Oak Hall, and literally this morning I was talking to him about cashmere vests.
Ooh.
And, the holiday shopping and cashmere vests and it's on, baby. And, we'll talk more about what's going on at Oak Hall later. And I've obtained the turkey.
Oh, you're well ahead of schedule.
So I am well ahead of schedule. No, it turns out, and many of you are as inexperienced as turkey cooking as I am. I typically had gone for pretty much every year of my life. I went to Buffalo for Christmas while we had the family house in Buffalo. And then the last couple of years, since my parents died and we had to sell the house, I've gone to other gatherings for Christmas. This year we're here for Christmas and we're here for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, though, has been hit or miss because I'm always covering sports. You know, there's years I was covering the Egg Bowl. There was one year I was in literally the Titans. It was when the Titans were still called the Oilers and they were here in Memphis and they played on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I was in Dallas for Thanksgiving. I haven't had and then sometimes the Memphis Tigers are at Thanksgiving tournaments or whatever.
Matter,
I have very hit or miss Thanksgiving. I think I'm only cooked a turkey on Thanksgiving one other time in my life, but I did went to Costco, got the turkey. It's amazing. You can get this big ass, I think it's a 22-pound turkey. It was not among the most 15 expensive things I got from Costco on that trip, right? You know, and big ass turkey. But I did go to the Butterball account, the Butterball.com or whatever it is. And look up some instructions for thawing the damn bird.
I was like, did you register your turkey that you're going to cook?
For thawing the damn bird.
Okay.
And it's a good thing I did because we put it in the freezer. And I'm sure you people know this. It takes a long time for a 20-pound bird to thaw. Butterball says it takes 4 pounds a day for every 4 pounds that have to thaw. So I had to transfer it to the fridge yesterday. Now, my parents, back in the day, they'd get the bird. And they just, it's amazing we didn't die. Mm. It's amazing we didn't all die. They would just take the bird and put it in the back room. Like we had a set of...
It's great thawing
We had it in the back room for several days in the back room. It was chillier in the back room because the back room was... It was Buffalo's cold.
There's no way that place was insulated.
Right. And so it's where the... When you're walking in from outside, it gets chilly. It's where the coats hang and whatever else. And it would be just in a big old black pot on a top of a shelf in the... And that's how we would thaw it. And then, of course, we'd do what you're not supposed to do. You'd stuff the stuffing, hence the name,
yes,
into the bird,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and thereby risking what is it, botulism? What are we getting? What are we getting from that? And then, and then when Christmas rolled around, they'd serve eggnog with raw eggs, like real raw eggs
in
the
eggnog. It's called fresh, Jeff.
It's called fresh eggnog. Yeah,
they probably y'all probably went straight to the chicken coop and got the eggs.
And Mom smoked the entire time, and God forbid we would ever wear a seatbelt.
Yeah,
and
everybody turned out fine,
and we all turned out just fine, except for those who didn't, of course, along the way. Anyway,
again, that was part of the risk.
I am I'm excited for holiday week. I hope you all are too. And today is a massive day. Not just on the Jeff Calkins Show, not just over at the river where they're playing Christmas carols. Listen, they got Christmas carols. You know, we got a weekend of football carnage to talk about. Which wins? Which wins, Jeffrey? Also,
Saturday ruled.
And not only that, we got Ja Morant's return to talk about. They got simply having another a wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah, no, awesome.
And we got Ja Morant's return.
Yeah, which would you rather listen to?
Which would you rather listen to?
I know the answer.
Simply having. Ja Morant is back, ladies and gentlemen, it appears.
How did Paul McCartney write that song?
And then it's not, we don't just have that. We got the Memphis Tigers playing a massive game.
Mele Kalikimaka.
What time is it?
So 1:30 our time.
I know.
Central.
That's not the question.
Oh, so what time is it there? I think they're 5 hours. So that would make it 8:30, right?
Crazy. I know it's 1:30 ESPN 2. Memphis Tigers play UConn. Is it a 5 hour difference?
So it's four. Right now it is 9:06 local. It is 5:06 in Maui. So we're 4 hours.
Okay, so
1:30
9 o'clock.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
9:30?
So yeah.
Here's the thing. This team takes a little bit of time to wake up anyway. Even in night games. How are they going to fare, Jeffrey?
Hold on. So if it's 1:30 our time, that means we are...
Wait, 1:30. 12:30, 11:30, 10:30, 9:30. Four hours.
Yeah, there you go.
I just use my fingers, though.
Yeah. No, that's good math.
That's why God gave you fingers.
Correct. Exactly. To do hand math.
Anyway, I'll get to the concern about UConn in a minute. But how about just this, like, this is a team that needs an alarm clock at halftime in a night game.
Well, maybe this is the answer.
Morning games?
Correct.
Wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go from the start?
Or just, you know, hey, everybody's going to be in kind of a funk.
Today on the radio show, let's see. We're going to do the fight song roundup, although...
it could be the fight song blow up.
Well, yeah, we could blow up more teams. We could reverse the order.
Yeah.
We could blow up five teams and celebrate one. No, I. While I am excited about the holidays, it does begin to dawn on me with a sinking feeling that the college football season is winding down.
It's rivalry week, Jeff.
That's just sad.
You blink and football season's over. And this was a long football season. We had two bye weeks this year.
You wait so long for it to get here.
Yeah. That's why you have to cherish every Saturday.
That's why I have to cherish every Saturday and every Monday fight song roundup.
Yes.
We'll do a fight song roundup next Monday. We'll be back. We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, but we got Thanksgiving off to be grateful and Friday off to shop our tails off or whatever you do. And
watch more football.
Watch more football. And then we'll be back Monday. We'll do the fight song roundup again then. But is that it?
I mean, the good news is we have playoff football during the year.
We do have playoff football. And anyway, we'll do the fight song roundup next. Then Chris Herndon's going to join us at 10 o'clock. He's got a piece up over the Daily Memphian, 10 observations about the Grizzlies' start to the season. And so just to take a few things in order, Jeffrey, let's start with the Grizzlies.
Okay.
They did take care of business over the weekend.
Revenge game
against Chicago. I don't know if you know this. Scottie Pippen played in Chicago Chicago for the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen something about this theme over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And his son goes back. I think they call it the house that Scottie built, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
There
was no one else on that team that was like, significant.
And it was the house that Scottie built. And 30 and 10 is the Grizzlies in a high scoring affair.
Defense optional.
142-131. It is kind of amazing. Your summer Grizz, Scottie Pippen, scored 30, and Jalen Wells, both of whom really were stars of the summer Grizz team. Although Jalen Wells with another 26. So these two summer Grizz, 56 points, and shot 23 of 30. That's pretty damn efficient from your summer Grizz. Jaren was fabulous again.
Yeah, but like that was the thing. It's like they scored 142, and this is not a critique. This is just like it kind of took you back. Jaren and Dez combined for 39. Like you would think, like if they're going to score 142, it's like they probably went for 80.
Yes. If you went back and looked at, if you thought of the previous game as the game where Dez got his groove back, he still needs to find his groove after Saturday. He was not hitting shots. It is the sixth time the Grizzlies have scored 140 points. Five of those times have been under Taylor Jenkins. Vroom vroom. And so there you go. And then they got Portland tonight. But the big news was on the injury front, because Ja was, and we've seen it coming. He's been hinting on social media about his return, but he was doubtful for that game, and he is questionable for tonight. And if you follow the general trajectory of return from injuries for the Grizzlies, that's how it goes. You go doubtful, you go questionable, and you play. Obviously, it will be ultimately a game-time decision. But the nice thing is, if you've been building your you got maybe kids coming home, or you've decided to splurge this holiday week and go see the Grizz, you got lots of opportunities. Pistons, well, tonight against Portland.
Yep.
And then you got the Pistons, the Pelicans, and the Pacers. Portland, Pistons, Pelican, Pacers. Say that four times fast.
You can't.
Can't do it. And you get Ja in the it appears you will get Ja as part of that extravaganza. I'm wanting the 4-0 week, Jeffrey. Let's leave the muddling around behind.
Okay.
What say you? I'll offer you 3-1.
Yeah, I'm taking it.
You're taking the 3-1?
Just because of NBA basketball. Like, there's just always the possibility.
I'm not settling. I want the sweep.
Yeah,
Portland stinks.
Call me
the
big
Pistons
gear.
Stink.
This is
the
sound of
Pelicans
settling.
Are in disarray.
Yeah.
And the Pacers slower start than you would have imagined.
Yeah. Again, give me 3-1. I'll take the routine.
So, but that is a cause for celebration, as Ja, it appears, is nearing return. Marcus Smart is not on the injury list today. He had been on the injury list for illness, although Chris in one of his pieces clarified, I think it was Chris, could have been Drew, that one of them was to start to get back into shape a little bit, like the last time.
It was a little ate too much turkey.
It was maybe a little.
I will say this. Another underrated, it's Thanksgiving week tradition for me. When I wake up with a sinus infection, I always know.
Do you have a sinus infection?
Oh yeah,
right now?
And like I can go back. I think this is like five consecutive.
Really, Thanksgiving is bad.
Yep, right there.
I guess we could have the turkey debate at some point. I thought that Chris Harrington wrote the definitive defense of the turkey as the centerpiece for the Thanksgiving meal recently. I'll try to find that. It was because you have the.
Does anyone make this a debate other than Gary?
You have the counter revolutionaries. I think other people do make the observation that turkey isn't that great. That the Gary isn't the only one who says that. Gary was the serve chicken nuggets instead of turkey guy, right? And made the very compelling point that if you brought turkey to a party or Chick-fil-A nuggets to a party, there's never a Chick-fil-A nugget, like, you know, there will be leftover turkey. There never are leftover chicken nuggets because they're good.
Well, but it's also like the size of the bird versus the the pickability.
It's also true, though. Which are better? Come on, which are better?
But to me, like, the Thanksgiving meal is better than Chick-fil-A nuggets.
It's my favorite meal
of the year.
It's better because it's Thanksgiving.
No, it's because of all the flavors. Like, I love the flavor of the dressing that goes with the turkey, which goes with the mashed potatoes, which goes with the gravy. You can't just say individually.
The turkey, though, is Stephen Adams. Right.
I like to think of the turkey's the center. It sets the alignment for the protection. I'm talking about offensively. This is the guy that makes the calls.
Right.
Like, he's got to make sure the offensive line's in the right. You don't start the play unless he gets the snap.
If the turkey's the center, what's the who's the quarterback?
The dressing
is the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Okay,
your number one playmaker's your mashed potatoes.
Which is your diva wide receiver?
Yeah, that's
the mashed potatoes.
Absolutely,
mashed potatoes.
These are always mashed potatoes.
Are kind of they're potatoes. They're not.
But then they're yelling about where's the potatoes. Gravy? Yo, you can't get mad at me. If I don't have the gravy, you can't get mad at me. Like they're dependent on somebody else. But yeah, no, they're definitely.
And the tailback.
Ooh, cranberry sauce because you're not really sure how useful it is.
I think the cranberry sauce is more of a gimmick guy, like
third down back. Xavier Worthy,
the tailback is something that used to be thought of as at the center that's kind of been downgraded lately.
Green bean casserole,
maybe the green bean. Yeah, maybe the green bean casserole.
As time has gone on, it hasn't held up.
Yeah. Anyway. Grizz. I don't know how we got off on the. I like the metaphor though. I do enjoy the metaphor. Mm-hmm. And they got Portland tonight. We'll talk more about that with Chris Harrington. Memphis Tigers, they play, as we mentioned, at like you said, 3:30 in the morning Hawaii time.
Correct.
Maui time. 9:30 in the morning Maui time. It's on ESPN2. They'll be playing UConn. I saw someone make the argument. It was Andy Staples and who's he do his a podcast with someone on
Ari Wasserman.
Yeah, okay. It was Ari Wasserman. He was making the argument that it's unfair to judge Indiana by the Ohio State game. We'll get to the merits of that in a minute.
All right.
But the argument was because lots of people would have trouble with Ohio State. Like if that's the one good team you play, you're not playing the eighth team or the ninth team or the 13th team. You're playing the second best team in the country, which may be the best team in the country.
Okay.
Right? And so I don't know. We'll discuss Indiana in a little bit in terms of the Memphis Tigers and the kind of test this is. Is it even indicative of anything in particular? In other words, you're stepping up so dramatically in competition. This is a team. Now, UConn hasn't played anybody
at all.
They haven't played anybody at all.
But they have covered.
But they have covered.
That's what
they average 10.8 blocks a game. Like their opponents, again, they haven't played anybody at all. Their opponents are shooting 34% from two.
Yeah.
On UConn, they have Alex Caravan, who is shooting 54% from three.
Mm-hmm.
They are the two-time defending national champions, and you're a 8.5 point underdog, and you're an 8.5 point underdog, and you're thin, right? You're thin.
Yeah. You're talking depth wise, correct?
Let's just say, if you had to bet this, which would you bet?
Well, I mean, I have a system.
What's the system?
Is UConn playing?
Oh, and then you bet them.
Yeah.
If they lose by 17.
It's been an incredible system.
If they lose by 17, that's a very involved system.
Yes.
If they lose by 17, are we going to feel sick about it? In other words, you're just starting. It's a kind of a danger game for Memphis fans, because you're just starting to a little bit allow yourself to kind of.
You're becoming Tiger curious. Ty curious right
now. You're not all in.
Yeah.
But you're maybe a little, mm-hmm. a little in. You're starting to.
You've heard the presents are piling up around
you're
the corner.
Tiger curious. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So is this just because if they get blasted, does it just
It's the ultimate free shot.
Oh.
That's how I look at it.
Free and shot.
I think the problem is...
I think it's a steeper downside than the free shot because hope in the Tigers is so fragile as it is that if they get blasted...
Yeah, but there's still so many games after this to, like...
That's true.
...right the ship. To me, it's a matter of what does that 17-point loss look like? Is it competitive and then UConn does what they do, which is the last 6 to 7 minutes they really go pedal to the metal and make sure that they cover the number and they take advantage that way? Or is it one of those games where UConn was in charge of the game the whole time, never a doubt, Memphis kind of...
They're up by 14 within 3 minutes or something like that, and then it's just a...
And it's just kind of a slog. Like, to me, it's... Or is it a situation where it's like UConn was up 30 the whole game and then Memphis kind of puts the non-competitive...
I'm also, by the way, I'm not dooming them to this. They might well be competitive from the start. They might give UConn, which hasn't played anyone, all they can handle. That's what I'm hoping.
They've only played teams in the 300s.
Right. I'm hoping they give UConn all they can handle. It'll be interesting, too, given that you have these games back-to-back-to-back.
Yep.
If you're losing, will Penny pull the plug on the starters? You know what I mean?
My guess is today he doesn't.
No, not to rest up?
No. Because I think he'll get competitive and see UConn.
UConn and Memphis, by the way, 8-8 all time. This is a big game. Someone's going to take the series lead. It's a swing game. Someone's going to take the series lead here. Anyway, that's at 1:30 Central. So we got a full day of sports. But I really do think, it's funny, I was thinking about what the biggest stuff that happened over the weekend, and then I was also thinking about who's the most miserable after this weekend. And I decided the two most miserable fan bases, and I think you should be acquainted with both.
All right.
Ole Miss and the New York Giants.
Yeah, so Ole Miss is a different thing. Ole Miss is a completely different miserable. The Giants are just kind of, like, you're just at this point, you're just kind of fed up.
But it is interesting. Like, they're the ones who are being laughed at, the Giants, right? You give up Saquon, and now he's freaking a legit MVP candidate, and he's...
We're now loudly having the...
Just crazy.
It's like, who decides the talking points? It's like, loudly now it just becomes like, oh, this is the year... Because I was thinking about this. I think this is the year that Josh Allen should win an MVP. And now it's like, it's almost like Josh Allen's become Peyton Manning in 1997, where it's right. Like... Everyone's sick of giving quarterbacks the Heisman.
So we're going to give it to the running back.
And Saquon's been awesome.
This reminds me of my Buffalo Sabre fandom when you trade away Jack Eichel and he goes to Vegas and he wins a cup.
Well, didn't you have the Blues guy?
There's O'Reilly and he runs a cup. And then Reinhardt goes to Florida and he wins a cup. But you literally decide to move on from this guy. There's video of you deciding to move on from this guy during the offseason and 302 yards of scrimmage where you had 245 as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about the carnage in college football and the misery of Ole Miss fans, and I feel real empathy for Ole Miss fans. I know Memphis Tiger fans. I don't, and I know, like, whatever. Tennessee fans, listen to the weekend it was. The weekend it was Tennessee fans were going the Gator Chop in Neyland Stadium. That's the kind of weekend it was. Let's be honest. The people who had the best weekend, Tennessee, and the people who had the worst weekend is Ole Miss. You could say Alabama, because Alabama,
they scored 3 points.
But in the end, the difference there... It was a more embarrassing.
I think it was a worse loss.
It was a worse loss. It was a more embarrassing loss to first game where you have not scored a touchdown since 2011.
You never had the lead
to a bad Oklahoma team, 24-3.
Yes,
it's disgraceful. That's a pathetic loss. But for Ole Miss, this was the year. This was
the whole point of putting this team together. Everything.
And it was sewn up. All you had to do was go to Florida and win a game that, by the way, you should have won.
You were 13-point favorite at closing.
And you had every opportunity during the course of the game to win the game.
Yes. It was a mix of their two previous losses, the Kentucky game and the LSU game, in which... you're a massive favorite like you were against Kentucky. You take a lead, but you can't hold on to it. And then it's the combination with the LSU loss where it's like you had every opportunity in the world to knock this team out. And because of your own, you know, mistakes that you made, dropping punts, dropping balls, ineffective red zone, you know, you get to the red zone, I think it was it four times, they come away with 0 points. Same thing with the LSU game. It's like then that you combine the two losses into one mega loss.
I mean, Kelly English, who's of course, as a
graduate,
great restaurateur in here in Memphis. He just he went on. I don't know where it was on social media. I saw it. He just tweeted pain.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
Right, pain. It's extraordinarily painful for Ole Miss.
My wife used it as an opportunity to yell at me. See, I told you they'd lose. It's like, well, I mean, they were up 14-7.
Well, there's a little of that PTSD stuff going on. Oh, yes, when they were up 14-7, it felt pretty good.
Yeah,
it felt like okay, and 0-for-3 in the red zone, no points out of a missed field goal, stopped twice on fourth down, two of the most horrific picks you can imagine from a quarterback who's been not only good but admirable and gutsy all year.
Well,
long.
The other thing
you know
is,
what I mean?
Is like. Up until the last two drives, he had been very good all day.
Yes.
But then it's like you get into those moments and you can just feel him get tight.
I just don't understand. Well, I mean, really threw three picks in those last two
drives.
Well,
he was determined on that last possession. Right. Like the game was going to end on an interception.
But the first of those two picks, it's first down.
Well, not
what
only that,
what are you doing? Moved, triple had, coverage. What are you doing?
And you had moved the ball by being patient. The whole reason you were down there is like you were just like methodically moving the ball. And then it's like, why are you taking the shot with like a minute and a half? Like you needed to work the clock.
I mean, that when they get the ball back and then he throws another. It's just devastating.
Well, and then they get the pick. It gets overturned. And I think it should have been overturned. Right. It's like. He's crying on the sidelines like, I can't believe he went right back in and threw another pick. It's like, who could have ever foreseen that happening?
So that was devastating, obviously, for Ole Miss. But it was equally thrilling for Tennessee because there's no question to me that the biggest winner of the weekend was Tennessee. Tennessee is the team that went, well, maybe SMU. Maybe an ACC.
I almost think the ACC.
Yeah, the ACC. Those two. The ACC, which now looks like they could get a second team.
Correct.
And Tennessee, which was out, and now they're in.
Yep.
Like,
and it's like not even like questioning. Yeah, like it's, they were it's out. Not like, well, maybe they're in. Like, no, they're in.
If they have to do to Vanderbilt, what Ole Miss couldn't do at Florida.
You're in the same position that Ole Miss was now.
Right. And for the Vanderbilt fans who wanted the opportunity to knock Tennessee out.
Here you go.
You would not have had that opportunity had chaos not happened because Tennessee wouldn't have been in to knock out.
Yep.
But now Tennessee is in. You'll see that, I'm sure, tomorrow night when the brackets are unveiled, when the rankings unveiled. And now Vanderbilt has a chance to knock them out. So the biggest winners of this weekend of chaos, to me, were Tennessee, which went from out to in.
Yep.
And then the ACC, the thing is with the ACC now, if both SMU, if SMU wins this weekend, and if Miami wins this weekend, and yep. Miami's got to play Syracuse, that's not a gimme, right? Whatever.
It's at the Dome.
If they both win this weekend, I think most people believe that both the winner and the loser will be in.
So you could also, though, talk me into this scenario that if Clemson beats South Carolina, they get in over the loser. Especially if the loser's SMU. And I'm not saying that's right, but you could talk me into that.
Clemson.
They'd have to beat South Carolina, though.
Got their ass kicked by Georgia.
Yep. And honestly, got their ass kicked by Louisville.
And they're asking, but I can maybe buy that scenario. And so it looks like for the SEC, I predict that tomorrow night it will appear that there will be three SEC teams in.
I think that's correct.
And those will be Texas.
Yep.
And now, by the way, Texas is a winner because I think they got some breathing room. I think they can even lose to A&M and they'll still be in.
I think you're correct.
And we once thought if they lost to A&M, they'd
yep.
be out.
Yep.
So I think Texas is in.
We're now in a scenario where 10-2 Texas without like a quality win can be fine.
Yeah, can be fine. So Texas, they were winners. Georgia winners, because now they're in the SEC championship game and they're in.
Although some were asking if that's a win.
Yeah, they're in now. They're in.
I think it's a win because now you're at the position where you can be the number two seed. And
right.
The bracket would set up quite nicely.
And Tennessee is in.
Yep.
And then you tell me, is there, and I saw you tweeted, which yeah. I found a little hard to believe, that you don't think it's over for Ole Miss.
Correct. And this was not even trying to give hope. This is just kind of like what we saw. So Ole Miss is likely to be kind of around 13. So what 13 means is likely you got to pass two people because one of it's
well, first
like,
let me ask you this. Do you think who will be the next highest ranked SEC team?
So if precedent holds, it's going to be Alabama because they've always given Alabama this weird benefit of the doubt. I would also point out, though, the committee looks at how you lose as much as who you lost to. So Ole Miss has 3 1-score losses. I'm not defending any of these losses, but they're 3 1-score losses, whereas Alabama did just get beat by an unranked team by 3 scores and didn't score a touchdown.
If you're going by the how are you playing thing.
Yes.
But Alabama, I think Alabama's a, I think I, my suspicion is Alabama would be ahead of Ole Miss in the pecking order.
The difference
look
would
at
be,
Ole Miss losses.
Right. But so Alabama has Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Ole Miss has Kentucky, Florida, and LSU in overtime. I think they're actually pretty comparable
losses.
Yeah, I know,
you're right. You're right.
And Ole Miss's biggest win is the same win that Alabama has, but it was more emphatic fashion.
Well, so but you do agree only one of these teams has hope.
Correct.
And
the ordering's going to matter.
So the ordering will matter yep. dramatically. Okay. Then some more chaos has to happen.
Correct. So I think
you don't believe that, for example.
Oh, I don't think
you don't
be
believe
in
that you would put a 3-loss team in over a 2-loss. Let's say it's SMU or Miami. Okay, they will at one of them will have, let's say they both get to the ACC championship game. One of them takes the second loss, right?
Okay,
they're not going to put a 3-loss SEC team over SMU or Miami when one of those losses is in a conference championship game. And they don't want to be devaluing college conference championships because they make money for them.
I suspect that is the case. I'm operating under that assumption. I also leave room for Sankey to politic. But yes, I do tend to agree with that.
Okay. So then what's the path for one of these teams to make it?
So I think it's pretty clear for Ole Miss. I think you need South Carolina to beat Clemson because that makes that South Carolina win even bigger. And that also knocks out Clemson from this, and so now you're going to be in a situation where you're perhaps in discussion with another 3-loss team, and you have a head-to-head win against them on the road emphatically. So I think you definitely need that. You need either USC
to beat Notre Dame.
To beat Notre Dame, because I do think a 3-loss SEC team could get in over a 2-loss Notre Dame, neither of which have conference championship games. I do think that that's possible. You would need Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee, and then some combination of someone in one of these championship games getting run out of the building, like whether it be SMU running out of the building, Miami or whatnot. Like you just need someone to have a bad, like a really, really bad loss. And then all of a sudden, we're not talking about you need all of those things. You just need a couple of them to happen.
There's enough chaos that I'm not going to rule out anything.
Well, and what we also saw,
what we
this,
just
weekend,
saw this weekend.
Well, what we saw
was
this
it
weekend,
fun this weekend, or was it just? I felt, honestly,
I thought it was a great watch because what we finally saw. Was,
and you said everybody watching that Ole Miss game.
Pressure. We saw pressure. And we saw what teams did under pressure. And because even like a team like Penn State that won the game. Wasn't like they played awesome.
No, but Penn State,
but
in fairness,
they fell behind.
Punt,
and, they came,
and then they go for it three
absolutely.
Times on fourth down and bank it both
Made
times,
plays.
Which Ole Miss does not.
Correct. Made plays.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back to the fight song roundup. If you're selling your house, you know what you want. You want multiple offers. That's another reason to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Claire's selling her house in Clarksville. And over the weekend, it's so great to have multiple offers. She got multiple offers on her house. Now, you can't use Josh Heisa because he doesn't operate in Clarksville, but we would have. But her realtor sent her a spreadsheet comparing the offers. That's what you like to see. Comparing the offers. And the point is Josh Heisa, he knows how to market a house. That's what he does. He knows how to market a house. It can be a tricky time to sell a house, and Josh knows how to market your house. You see the aggressive marketing that is right here on this radio show. All that plus flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. Josh Heisa, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Fights on Ground Up. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jarvis has chimed in, Jeffrey. He says, please mention, if you haven't already, Tiger football up to 23rd in the coaches poll, 27th, if you count the votes, in the AP. He also said, at least the nation likes us if some home fans don't. Get a little salty. He's getting a little salty there. That's as salty as Jarvis can get, right?
Indeed.
Tim Buckley has a piece over at the Daily Memphian about whether it's fair. This is a conversation for another time. That Ryan takes criticism for the results over the past few years, given the number of games they've won. In related news, another AC coach got fired over the weekend. Did you see that? Kevin Wilson at Tulsa joining East Carolina, Temple, Rice, FAU, and Charlotte. Holy smokes!
And it also appears ECU is going to do the Blake Harrell promote from within.
Oh, there. Okay. Fights on Ground Up. Fire them up. Let's go. I don't think we've... Do we play them when they beat Penn State, maybe? Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right. We played, I think, one time this year.
This is Ohio State's fight song. They did what they were supposed to do against Indiana, and had none of the other things that happened, we might be debating whether Indiana's out.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They got blown out. We said they couldn't get blown out. They just had to hang in there. They kind of hung in there for the half because Ohio State had some empty drives.
Correct.
But except for like the first drive and the last drive, Indiana did nothing.
Correct.
Absolutely nothing. Will Howard, who we were a little skeptical about coming in, looked really good, didn't you think?
He looked really solid.
Solid.
Yeah.
Efficient. 22 of 26, 200 yards, two touchdowns.
Even his pick wasn't his fault. It was like off the hands of his receiver that, yeah.
Five sacks by Ohio State. And so, but because of all the carnage that happened, Who would you drop one loss? And one of the interesting phenomena here is, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out going forward, is in the end, it's better to play a crappy schedule and lose once
yep.
than it is to play a tough schedule and lose three times.
Now, what makes it difficult is, I think that's true if you're a Big Ten team. The problem is how many teams can really play a schedule where you're going to play seven of your eight conference games against horrible teams.
Right. Well, that is true. And it's also the luck of the draw.
Yes.
Texas got the luck of the draw
Correct.
This year. If you just look around, the teams that are going to be rewarded tonight or tomorrow night and ultimately are Penn State, who didn't really play anybody, and they have, you know.
Yep.
And it's Texas, who didn't really play anybody. And there's different levels of playing anybody. Indiana really didn't play anybody.
Yep.
Right? So they're going to be a one-loss team that didn't really play anybody. And then you're going to have these SEC teams with three losses, and they're all going to say, hey, Indiana, Penn State, SMU, whoever, if you played in the SEC, how many losses would
losses.
You have?
Right.
And I do believe that, although the SEC's case is a little weaker this year, because it's not like they went out and proved how awesome they were in non-conference play. They did not. You had some examples of Georgia taking care of Clemson, right?
Yep.
But you had Notre Dame beating A&M.
Yep.
Alabama took care of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But USC
yep.
beats LSU. I mean, it wasn't like they went out and just
They stopped. Were better this year than they were last year, but they still didn't. It wasn't like a dominant.
So the only reason that we're saying that they couldn't survive in the SEC is we believe it. Right, I do believe it, but they didn't go out and demonstrably prove it.
Yeah, agreed.
And let's be honest, they created this monster.
Yeah. They didn't, in my opinion, the biggest problem was like there really wasn't that much schedule balance.
And in the end, the fact that you're going to, Ole Miss can, and Alabama and whatever can bemoan the fact that crappy old Indiana is going to be getting in. But you know what? It's pretty crappy to get blown out by Oklahoma.
Well, I was
and it's pretty crappy to lose to a Florida team. Miami went in there and took care of them in the swamp.
I don't know if crappy Indiana gets in if you just either beat Oklahoma or if Ole Miss beats Florida.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky.
Yeah, you opened the and you lost some crappy teams in your own right. So I don't think you can really complain. Anyway, there you go. Ohio State. Next.
We have not played this year.
Ah, no, we have not.
Or maybe we played it as like a blow-up.
Holy smokes. I guess we could have blown up Alabama, couldn't we have? We got a lot of blow-ups here. 2000, Kalen DeBoer. Holy smokes.
What a year.
Jalen Milroe. 3 picks. 11 to 26. There's
That's
your next
first
Giants
Jalen
quarterback.
Right
first
to you. Jalen. I have so many friends that keep sending me the photoshops of Jalen Milroe
in
the
Giants
gear, and it just every time it's just.
And they got run over too. That was the other thing. They got just run over. Robinson with 107 yards rushing. Jackson Arnold with 131. Oklahoma ran for
Oklahoma wins this game by 3 scores,
7 yards
with 68 yards passing.
So, it's going to be uncomfortable for Kalen DeBoer. It's going to be really uncomfortable if they lose next week or this week.
Well, yeah.
But there you go. Chaos reigns. Hey, you don't get everything. Good things don't last for forever.
He does have like the super highs, like the high of the Georgia game, the way they beat LSU. And then
it's
you sandwich
it's the
that.
Anti-Saban, though, you know?
Correct.
Show up, do your job, be a machine.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of that. All right, next.
They played this a lot on Saturday.
They played this a lot on Saturday. And they did what they had to do, or took care of Army. And now they got to beat USC, and then they're in.
Yes. And honestly, I know the Northern Illinois game is a game that happened, but if you want to talk about how someone is playing, despite the fact that they have tons of injuries, they could be making a lot of excuses, but this team does feel like it's playing better as the season has gone on. And maybe that's just because I'm so focused on offense and that their offense clearly looks like it is a much more functional offense as the season has gone on.
So the question is, if Army now will advance to the title game in the AAC against Tulane, right?
If Tulane wins, Tulane's hosting.
But there is some, Boise has looked shaky.
Yep.
Barely got by Wyoming.
Yep.
Ashton Gentry's kind of banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those who are
still ripped off an 80-yard
who are surmising that UNLV might beat Boise, right? Well, Boise, by the way, has Oregon State this week, which, by the way, beat Washington State for the Pac-2 title.
Correct.
Over the weekend. And so, but if UNLV beats Boise, the question is could Tulane get in?
And I think it's very possible.
I think the answer is yes, except for Tulane played two power teams and lost. UNLV, didn't they beat them? Like,
beat UNLV. Boise beat UNLV.
No. UNLV's, look at UNLV's Power 5 teams.
So they beat Kansas.
Yep.
And they beat Houston.
And you have Tulane, by contrast.
But they did lose to Syracuse.
Losing to Kansas State and losing to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks better for UNLV than Tulane.
Yeah, but at that point, Tulane will have won like 9 in a row, and they will.
The old how they're playing thing?
Uh-huh.
I'll be interested. I don't think that's obvious, honestly. But shout out to Notre Dame. They've rebounded from that. You can now, you know?
Yeah.
You can get off the mat in this football season. Just look at Georgia, for
sure.
God's sakes. 2 weeks ago, we're like, well, didn't you used to be Georgia after almost pummeled them? And now they're in the catbird seat. It's a grind. It's a grind. Okay, next. This is one we haven't played. Really, I just put it on the list, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I know you're such a fan of the head coach.
Because
we all acknowledge the fight's always tremendous.
Absolutely.
And we haven't gotten to play it at all.
And we don't have to blow it up.
Yeah, it's just a great, great underrated fight song. Quadruple overtime. Now, of course.
Hit him again.
A&M. Still has a shot.
Maybe. I don't know. Even if they win. I mean, I guess if they win, their shot is they have to win Saturday and then beat Georgia.
Yeah, that's their shot.
Yeah. But I do. If you tell me where the SEC championship game is meaningless, if Texas A&M loses, I can see where it's meaningless.
If Texas A&M loses to Texas.
Right. If Texas A&M beats Texas and then loses to Georgia, you could tell me that's meaningless. They'd leave them out.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Because that'd be a three-loss team.
I think that's probably. It's
unclear if that three-loss team were getting in before it. You see what I'm saying?
Right. That would be interesting.
This game was bananas, by the way. I don't know how much of this you actually got to see. It was like five games in one. The first half, entirely Auburn.
Right.
Auburn's in entire control.
Second half, the opposite.
And then the exact opposite.
That Auburn team could beat Alabama.
Yes. The first half Auburn team
could 100% beat Alabama.
Because they had big plays. Coleman's a stud. Thorne was playing very solid football. Thorne used his legs pretty well. But then in the second half, it was like the game completely flipped. And I don't know how you feel, but I am just not a fan of deciding games on two-point plays. And I just think it's so stupid how we got here. We got here because 1 year, Texas A&M and LSU played a late-night game that went to 7 overtimes. And Twitter went, oh my gosh, can you believe this? When I remember a time when the 7 overtime game was celebrated, like, the Ole Miss-Arkansas game was the stuff of legends.
Legends, yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're acting like, can you believe this?
No, if you want to do a two-point, then that's fine. That's
right,
different.
You have the opportunity to go for it.
After a touchdown, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be forced upon. I think that's right.
And I'm not saying like that, Matt. Like, Texas A&M had this was the classic, even though it was quote-unquote game of the year. I thought it was the perfect game to be quote-unquote game of the year for me because I didn't know which way I was. Like, the first half, I was like, well, this is a dead dog loser. And then for pretty much the entire second half, I was like, I'd rather have Texas A&M. And then you get to overtime, it's like coin flip. Okay, well, that's a two-point game.
What's next? the hottest team in the country, maybe, Jeffrey, or one of them. In successive weeks, Kansas has beaten Iowa State, BYU, and Colorado. And convincingly, by the way.
I would say, it's not like these are just one-score games and flipping, you know.
Rushed for 331 yards against Coach Prime. Devin Neal, 37 rushes, 207 yards, 3 touchdowns. But what this means is it has absolutely created chaos in the Big 12.
So much chaos so that we have situations in play where Baylor and Texas Tech could be your Big 12 title game.
If these guys, they all have to lose.
Correct.
Yes. Arizona State, BYU, Colorado, and Iowa State are tied at the top. But if everybody wins, Arizona State and Iowa State would be the ones.
Correct. They control. They're the ones that control their destiny.
They control their own destiny. Do we think that the, let's say it's Arizona State.
All right.
Who gets the bye? BYU? I mean, not BYU, Boise, or Arizona State?
I think it comes back to like what you said, what do these next couple of weeks look like? Because if Boise just keeps like surviving and advancing, you can talk me then into Arizona State passing them.
It's kind of fun, though.
Absolutely. The Arizona State thing's really fun. And Kenny Dillingham's a good character.
By the way, they're all, and of course we did have the scene. The scene at Arizona State, the premature.
If they would have hit a Hail Mary after the goalpost came down.
Goalpost comes down, and then they hit the Hail Mary, which is short. There was complaining by the BYU folks, shocking, that there should have been either unsportsmanlike penalty or at the very least a delay of game penalty on the fans for the premature fans, premature goalpost pulling down. But in fairness, BYU coach, he was having none of it. He said it was awesome. He said those fans were excited.
He did not complain. It would be different. To me, this is a situation where, like, let's say, remember when Ole Miss prematurely rushed the field?
Yeah.
Let's say that would have been a game and Georgia could have had a play. Yes. Then I'm here for that argument because that was them not knowing the game had game clock had 16 seconds.
Right.
The game was not over. At least in this game, the game clock read 000.
That's true.
And they had to go back and go, no.
So
this
it's not
is
their
wrong.
Fault. Right. Yes. It wasn't their error.
But it wasn't like they prematurely rushed the field.
No, you're right. Now, the complication here, by the way, we said that Arizona State and Iowa State control their own destiny. That is true. But Iowa State has to play this Kansas team.
Correct.
That beats everybody.
Correct.
Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, their college careers this weekend.
No. Kansas has already beaten both
of
them.
No, is that true?
Kansas beat both of them.
I'm sorry, not Iowa State. Iowa State plays, who do I have? They play someone formidable. I wrote it down wrong.
Because Kansas
Iowa State has already beaten them. They already beaten them.
Yes.
They play, I have it. No, I don't.
I have it.
Iowa State, of course, took care of Utah.
They play Kansas State.
Kansas State, yes.
That's who was the preseason favorite?
Kansas State, right.
I love how the Big 12, like, this was kind of the other thing, because Topmeyer and I were texting on Saturday because we both thought, we thought there was no way Alabama and Ole Miss were both losing, and so we were texting each other, and I was like, we took this weird circuitous route to get to the Big 12 is going to be a big, fat, happy mess. Ohio State, Georgia, and maybe Oregon are the best teams, and Georgia and Texas are the two best SEC teams. It's like we did this unbelievable dance to get around all this, and we just kind of wound up back in the spot where everything we thought all summer could just be true.
Could be the end this week for Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it very likely might be. And so there you go. It was an astounding weekend of college football. And we haven't even mentioned, let's see, what else?
We haven't done the last thing.
Oh, we didn't blow anybody up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that,
all right.
Shout out to Nebraska. Bowl eligible for the first time since 2016. Shout out to Cal. for beating Stanford with an emotional drive at the end. Yep. Shout out to the Yale Bulldogs.
I weirdly watched that whole game because there wasn't a ton of
I went to a watch party at Bellmead Social. There was a watch party, and I had a nice time chatting with people, but I didn't watch a second of it, or barely. And let's got to blow somebody up. Yeah. It was, you had it right there, man. You had it right there. You had it right there.
Critical downs, Jeff.
Pressure.
Critical downs. Sometimes it's not difficult. What'd you do in the red zone? What'd you do on third
down?
You know,
what really matters is family anyway, Jeffrey.
That's true.
What matters is family and turkey and love. That's what really matters. And by the way, if you're looking for Christmas gifts, the Frame Corner, they've got beautiful frames. Mm-hmm. That's always a nice gift. But what's really a thoughtful thing to do would be like if you're a Tennessee fan and you want to have some, you got some mementos from this season, you don't want them framed, take it to the Frame Corner. If you got a piece of art that you want framed, take it to the Frame Corner. You got a collection of photos you want framed, take it to the Frame Corner. They do beautiful custom framing there. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Got to take a break. Chris Harrington joins us on the other side. We'll talk Grizz. They got Portland tonight. Jaws return, all that and more. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.